Morning, y'all. You all having a good time here? You're not having a good time yet, are you? That's a lousy accent, isn't it? Pardon? No. Oh, you're missing the Americans?
Yes, we miss them.
It didn't sound unanimous. I'll try it again. Are you missing the Americans?
Yes.
Oh, that's good, good, good. I trust they got back safely, Andy, did they?
Yes.
Yeah, as far as we know. Okay, yes. The vagaries of our airport system and everything. Morning to you.
Morning.
Are you ready to receive the word of God?
Yes.
Am I ready to receive the word of God? Because it's not just me talking to you, but all of us together, hoping to hear from what God's got to say to us. And I was thinking this week, by the way, any visitors here, I walk backwards and forwards a lot, and I've got more space to move in now. It's great. I can walk. Turn the television on, you read your newspapers, and what do you get? Bad news, isn't it? Very rarely you might find a bit of good news stuck down the bottom of page 15 or something, or if you can afford to buy the Times, page 65 or whatever it is. If you buy the Sun, it's not often on page 3, but that's not the point. The good news and bad news. And I was thinking about good news, bad news, and I found some here. Good news, bad news for ministers. You'll like this, Andy. This is great. You know, take this to heart, all right? Okay. This is to ministers, okay? You baptized 7 people today in the river. The bad news is you lost 2 of them in the swift current. The good news is the women's group voted to send you a get well card. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Bad news is the vote passed by 31 to 30. The good news, the church attendance, and this is particularly appropriate, good news, church attendance rose dramatically over the past 3 weeks. Bad news, you were away on holiday. I'm sorry. Good news. The youth of the church came to your house for a visit. The bad news, it was in the middle of the night and they were armed with toilet paper and shaving cream. Don't get any ideas. Okay, just in case. And the last one, the good news, the trustees finally voted to add more parking spaces. Bad news is they're going to tarmac the front lawn of your house. Good news, bad news. And I think, if the truth is told, we're all familiar with bad news. And you, as I say, have to read the newspaper or watch the news on the television or on your phones, if you're modern. To know that there's a lot of bad news about. Anyway, I'm here to bring you good news. If you're a visitor here, we like to have response. Okay. Now, here's me good news. Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. God is working his purposes out. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is moving amongst his people. Yes. Good news. Jesus is alive. God's working his purpose out. The Holy Spirit is moving among his people. But then there are times when Christians, believers, are not immune from things that happen in their life that aren't good. And sometimes you may even hear this from believers, but a lot of times you'll hear from non-believers, something happens. And what is the question they ask? And the other one, why me? Why me? Why me in the bad times? And maybe even you or I have perhaps in our hearts and minds something seriously bad has happened. Maybe you and I might have said, why me? Or, as you say, where's God in this? Where's God in this? Maybe you're finding life a struggle. Maybe someone here is finding life a struggle. Maybe emotionally. Maybe physically. With relationships. They're difficult, aren't they? Aren't relationships difficult?
Yes, Adam.
Adam, yes. They can be very difficult sometimes. But let's just meet someone in Scripture who really did experience bad times in all these areas, emotionally, physically, and with relationships. And there's a guy you've heard of called Joseph. You all heard of Joseph, haven't you? Thank you, Andy. Yeah. All heard of Joseph. Well, I'm sure you know the story of Joseph. There he was, in a sense, his father's favourite. And his father had loads of sons. And Joseph, Jacob was the father. Joseph was his favourite son. And you all know the story of Joseph as an amazing coloured dream coat. This father gave him, as you know, and it showed how favored he was, and his brothers were getting jealous, and Joseph, shall we say, got a bit big-headed, and he had a couple of dreams. In both of these dreams, he was the top dog, and his brothers and family were going to be bowing down to him, and this didn't exactly help the relationship between him and his brothers. His father seemed a bit ignorant of all the friction that was in there, but never mind about that. It got to the point one day, didn't it, where his brothers were away working and Joseph was at home doing something or other, and he's told to take food to his brothers, and they see him coming, and somehow the resentment just builds up and builds up. And they think, well, we've got to do something about this irritating brother of ours. We get rid of him somewhere, let's kill him. And I is it Reuben? I'm not sure. But the eldest one says, hang on, no, we can't do that. Hey, there's a deep hole here, there's a pit here, let's shove him in there and somehow something might happen to him. And so they do this, they fall upon Joseph, take his beautiful coat off him, shove him down in this hole, and stand around thinking, what are we going to do now? I don't know what we're going to do, etc. And then they see a caravan. Not one that you see on the Norfolk Broads, but a load of camels or donkeys or whatever, of traders. And they say, that's what we could do. Get a bit of money as well as getting rid of him. And so they sell him to these traders. And they smear his coat with the blood of an animal. And they go back home and they tell his father, I'm sorry, but Joseph no more. He has departed this mortal coil. He is popped his clogs, etc. The animals got him. And his father is heartbroken, obviously. And Joseph is taken away. And he's sold to an Egyptian official. But he's doing okay as a slave, as a servant, and he gets a good important position because he can be trusted, etc., etc. But a problem there, another bit of bad news crops up, because the guy whose name is Potiphar, his wife fancied Joseph quite a lot. I thought, oh, he's a bit of all right. Oh, yeah. And Joseph, again, being very honest and trusting, he says, I'm sorry, you're married. Can't do that. You know, go away. Don't pester me. I'm sorry about this, Mrs. Potiphar. And she gets a bit miffed about this, so she goes and concocts a lie about Joseph. He's shoved into prison. And there he languishes for a long... That's a good word, isn't it? Do you like that? You can use that if you like sometimes. He languishes in this prison for quite a while. And he meets up with a couple of... one's a butler, I think. One's a chef or something. And he meets up with these two. And they have both of them have dreams. And they come to Joseph and he interprets the dreams for them. And he says to them, look, if you get let out, please tell the authorities and hopefully they'll let me go. And off they go. And they get let out and one's dream, he does get fulfilled. He gets executed. The other one becomes an official in the Pharaoh's court. And he forgets all about Joseph. So Joseph is still stuck down there. Until one day the king has a dream and it's not interpreted. And this guy has already been... has met Joseph. I remember someone now. Oh, I forgot all about him. He's in prison. He can do it. And he gets Joseph out. And eventually Joseph becomes prime minister and saves the nation during this time of famine. Quick run through there, wasn't it, on Genesis or Exodus? But bad news, good news. Good news, he was Jacob's favourite son. The bad news, his brothers hated him. The bad news continues, he's thrown into the pit. The bad news continues, he's sold to traders. The good news comes, he becomes very well off or high up in Potiphar's house. Bad news, Potiphar's wife fancies him. The bad news, he gets thrown into jail. The good news, he's able to interpret dreams. The bad news is the people whose dreams were interpreted forgot all about him. The good news is that when they eventually remembered him, he was taken out and he became the prime minister. And good news, bad news. That's just a brief account. It could go on longer. But Joseph really experienced the, what have I done to deserve this syndrome? Why me? Why me? So what was the key to Joseph's survival? That's a rhetorical question. I'm sure you know it is, but what sustained him through his highs and lows? And it's found three times, and probably even more. in Genesis. It says this, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Just a brief. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 21. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Verse 23. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph. And I'm sure, actually, these are just three I've mentioned. I'm sure there are other occasions in the scripture with Joseph. But the Lord was with him. That's what sustained him through the highs and through the lows. And as a result, because the Lord was with Joseph, he did not consider himself powerless. His trust was so devoted to God. And this belief, this belief about Joseph not considering himself powerless is echoed by others in Scripture. Daniel, for instance, I'm sorry, I'm hoping that you know these people, but Daniel, for instance, again, was taken away into exile, took control of his diet. If you don't know the story, read the book of Daniel. But in this instance, he took control of his diet. Peter and the apostles, they were arrested and they were told to stop preaching Jesus. And they ignored this gagging order. They ignored it. They took control. Paul and Silas took control in prison by singing hymns. If you and I were shoved in prison in stocks with chains and everything, we'd probably think, why me? What have I done to deserve this? But Paul and Silas said, hey, God's with us. And they took control of the situation and showed it by singing hymns. You see, faith believes that we are never victims. We live in a world where everything's, they talk a lot about victims. Oh, so-and-so is a victim of this, there's a victim of that, a victim of the other. Faith believes that we are never victims because God is with us. Would you like to say that with me? God is with us. And we need to believe that. Even in the darkest times, and we all have dark times, whether emotionally, physically, relationship, we all have dark times. We will never escape them. Maybe not as difficult times as Joseph had, but we will have them. But God, Jesus, is with us. Each one is susceptible to good news, bad news in life. And let's face it, it's no different for Jesus. Let's look at the good news, bad news of Jesus, shall we? Worshipped as a baby. Good news. Other babies and children were killed as a result of his birth. Bad news. Jesus and his parents escaped. Good news. But they became refugees in a foreign country. Bad news. He undertook his ministry that God had called him to. Good news. But his family rejected him. Bad news. People followed him. Good news. The church rejected him. Bad news. He entered Jerusalem to an ovation. Good news. And then the bad news appears to mount, doesn't it? Arrested. Bad news. Friends desert him. Bad news. Tortured. Bad news. Jeered at by crowds. Bad news. Crucified. Bad news. I'm left-handed, by the way, otherwise I'd be doing that. Okay. So what was the key to Jesus being sustained through this welter of bad news? Couple of verses in John. John chapter 8, 27 to 30. He's talking to his disciples here. And he did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And a bit later on in John chapter 10, verse 30, the words here. Well, verse 29, 30. My Father who has given them to me, then he's talking about his disciples. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. God is with me. I and the Father and one. So, we look at the crucified Christ, the bad news. And what was sustained through all this welter of bad news? The Father was with him all the way. Then came the really good news, though. Good news for all humanity. Good news for you. Good news for me. Why? Because of the glorious resurrection. If Jesus remained on that cross, the bad news would have won. But we had the glorious resurrection, and the good news triumphed. Let's go back to Joseph. When a famine arose in Egypt, a deliverer came forth in the form and person of Joseph. In the UK today, and indeed in many parts of the world, there is another type of famine in the land. And that's a famine of belief. God's word tells us in that famous verse and favourite verse, which a lot of you will know, Romans 3:21, do you know what that is? Romans 3:23.
Wages of sin is death.
No, close. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not for some of you have sinned. It says for all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But again, you see, a person may argue, I haven't sinned. I haven't murdered. I haven't robbed. I haven't taken drugs. I haven't, etc. I've led a good life. But the reply has to come, you have gone your own way. You have ignored a God who created you, a God who loves you, and God who gave his Son to die on the cross for you. That's why it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You may think you're a good person, a perfect person, because you haven't done these horrible things we read about in the papers and on the media. But you still sinned, because you've just turned your back on the God who loves you. And that is bad news. That is bad news. But then you can go on and say to this person, these people, that all is not lost. For there is good news. There is good news. As God sent Joseph to deliver the Egyptians from their famine, so he sent a deliverer in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. I know most of you, if not all of you, know this. But we need to be reminded, don't we, from time to time? We need to get it under our skin, into our hearts, into our minds. He sent a deliverer to deliver people from sin. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, another famous verse. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Oh, all the things I've done wrong can be as white as snow. Why does it know how? Through receiving God's forgiveness and accepting Jesus into the life. As God was with Joseph, was with Daniel, was with Peter, was with Paul, was with Silas, etc. And above all, he was with Jesus. And so he can be with you, he can be with me, because the good news gets even better. Wow! Can't get better than that, surely. Matthew chapter 28. If you've got your Bible, just turn to it. Matthew chapter 28, the final verse. I'm sure you'll know again what it is. The good news here getting even better. And it's the second part of that verse, the very last words that we read in Matthew that Jesus spoke. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. What better news can we, you and I, have than that? God, through Jesus, is with us forever. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? You and I will be let down by friends, by relatives, whether they mean to do it or they don't mean to do it. You and I will be let down. But Jesus, God through Jesus, never lets us down. He has promised, I will be with you until the end of the age. Wow. That's what Mark would do, and he'd go, wow. But be warned, however, there is a warning. If you and I choose to accept the Lord Jesus as our personal Saviour, whether we are long-standing Christians, you're sitting at the moment, but you know what I mean. Whether you've been Christians for a long, believers for a long while, or whether you're new to the faith, there is a warning that we mustn't play fast and loose in our relationship with God. It is a serious business. Yeah, it's lovely. We joke and all that sort of thing. It is lovely, and God laughs and he likes us to be relaxed in his presence. But sometimes we can play fast and loose with our relationship with Jesus. We'll be serving a loving Father God. Isn't that wonderful? We have a loving Father God who's promised to be with us through Jesus till the end of the age, forever and ever, etc. But also we'll be serving a holy God. Not a wishy-washy, anything-goes God built in our image. He's a holy God. And there's always a risk that we become so complacent, we become so confident, we become so relaxed, that we do play fast and loose with him. Because, well, he's love, isn't he? He'll forgive us. And he will. But he also says, I am holy God. And that's why when we did the commandments earlier, what's the first one? Sorry? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your, and the word is all. It's difficult because we're weak human beings, and he does forgive us when we slip a little bit, if we sincerely do see him as both love and holiness. And also, and we can try and get that across to new believers, but also, coming to the end now, don't worry, also we need to be aware that as Christ's followers, we have no reason to be smug and complacent in our faith. We will be called upon to play our part in proclaiming the kingdom of God to an unbelieving UK, Brixworth, world, wherever we are. You may know the story of these two men. They were friends. One was a Christian, one wasn't. And the Christian's view was, my faith is private. And there is quite a bit of that sometimes within the church. It's a personal faith. My faith is private. And they both died. And the Christian found himself in the long queue. It's rather like Heathrow Airport. Okay. He found himself in a long queue leading up to the pearly gates. And ahead of him, he saw his friend. And the queue slowly moved forward, and St. Peter was there. And he saw his friend reach the pearly gates and talk to St. Peter. And then he saw the friend turn around and walk back. And as his friend passed him, the non-Christian friend passed the Christian, the non-Christian friend said, and you never even told me. Why, it's just a story. But it can happen. It can happen. You and I are the bearers of the good news of Jesus. We've been saved. God is with us. We have all the privileges of being a son or a daughter of the living God. And there are many people outside these four walls who are missing out. Through ignorance, you never even told me. And it's not just words, is it? It's actions as well. It's a salutary thought. If someone hadn't told or witnessed to you in some way, would you be here today? Would you be a son or daughter of the living God? Would you be a believer? I don't know. That's your story. Monday, we had on Wednesday our house group, we had testimonies, and that was great. I'm sure a lot of testimonies here that you could give. One final verse for you and I to chew over. Jesus is speaking to his followers then in the scriptures, and he's speaking this to his followers today. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That is good news. Yeah? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, yes, I'm sure none of us here in this room have been free from troubles. But Father, we thank you that we can know that you are with us. That you will sustain us through the darkest times. And Lord, even when perhaps our faith wobbles a bit, you can speak into our lives. Lord, we have the privilege of being your son or your daughter. I do pray if there's anyone here who hasn't yet fully taken that on board, that you love them beyond measure and have not accepted Jesus, I pray the day will come when your spirit will prompt them to take that action. But Lord, it's not just us in here, or those of this membership who are on holiday. It's the thousands and thousands outside these four walls. Help us to be part of that message of the love of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. For we ask in his name. Amen.